they are closed on Sunday. That's true. And I'm proud of them for that, by the way. Thank you, Jerry. We're going to talk about money today. The good, the bad, and it can be ugly when you talk about money. Can it? Can be ugly. It's amazing to me how much money drives our society and what some people will do for money. Not only work, I mean, we're called to work. But there are people that do horrendous things for money. It blows my mind how much it controls and how it affects some people. So today we're going to talk about it a little bit. If you will, we're going to start with a word of prayer. Father, you are good, and we praise you that you are good. I thank you for the creation that you made, the animals you've given us, fresh water, like he said, even chickens to eat, and the eggs, and just, Lord, you bless us. And I want to start by thanking you. We have so much. I pray we're grateful for it. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for our sins because, Lord, we fall short. We do. Everyone in this place is a sinner. But I thank you that your blood and your grace are more than sufficient. We ask you to forgive us for our sins. I pray that we'd be open to what you're doing. I pray you would open your word to us. You'd help us again to keep in context. And Lord, you say that it's living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. I pray that you would use it to work in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be better stewards of what you've given us. And that's what we're called to be as stewards. It's yours, Lord. Everything we have is a gift from you. I pray you'd help us to remember it. We give you thanks in Jesus' name and all God's people said. If you have your Bibles, we're in Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. I'm going to start in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Well, that's a way to start your morning. There's a dispute about an inheritance. Glad that doesn't happen today. Yeah, it was bad sarcasm or being facetious or whatever that is. Today still happens. See, at that time, the older brother, according to the law, was supposed to get 2/3. The younger brother was supposed to get 1/3. It wasn't uncommon for them to come to a rabbi or to a teacher or to a scribe, somebody in that position, and ask them to help them with legal help. So this really wasn't all that uncommon. If you remember, Jesus has been preaching. Maybe there was a break. Maybe in between messages, in between teachings, in between breaths, I don't know. But this guy interrupted, and he wanted Jesus to help him get his share of the inheritance. By the way, leaving an inheritance is a great thing. Proverbs 13:22 says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. But a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous. I think it can be a good thing, but I believe it can also, not done right, be a mess. A mess. I have seen people fight, and I am not kidding, fight over things that won't make it through the week. No joke. Things, that, even if you took care of them, won't last a week, and I've seen kids fight over it. The flowers. It amazes me what money will do some people. Why is that? Why is this such a big deal? Why does money... Why? Why would this do this? It's greed. It's greed. It's because you're dealing with people. And you're dealing with greed. Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Now, if I could pick a righteous judge, he's the best. Hands down. He knows it all. He knows the heart. He understands it all. He gets it all. He would be the best. But Jesus is like, why are you picking me? See, this man is there and his mind is on money and possessions and land. And Jesus is trying to teach them a bigger thing. This man is worried about land and money, and Jesus is worried about his eternal soul. He's worried about eternal life and salvation and his growth in God. Jesus is looking at a much bigger picture. So what he does is he uses this opportunity to teach them. Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard. I don't know if you picked that up. That's a double warning. It is a double warning. He does that because this is a big thing. Does money mess with people 2019? Are there people battling with greed in 2019? Listen, people will kill somebody for money. People will sell another person. Think of that. They will sell somebody else for money. It happens. That is messed up. Greed and covetousness. It's wanting more and more and more. He goes on, he says, watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. If you have the King James, you might have the word covetousness. It's wanting more. It's not being satisfied. It's wanting more and more and more and more and more. You know why people need more and more and more and more when they're trying to use money as their God? There's never enough to fill the hole. Money will not make you happy. Listen, I know poor people that are happy and rich people that are miserable, and I know it the other way around. I've worked with people that have all kinds of money, and they were miserable. I've been in foreign countries with kids that they played with worn-out soccer balls, maybe on worn-out tennis shoes, and they playing with sticks and rocks, and they're as happy as any other kid I've ever seen. I've seen poor people miserable and poor people happy. Rich people miserable and rich people happy. It's your heart. Money's not going to fill that hole. If you have a God-sized hole in your life, money won't fill it. It won't. It can give you temporary pleasure. You might find temporary pleasure. I'm not going to say you can't find things to give you temporary pleasure, but they are temporary. It's fleeting, and it will still leave you empty. Greed. Again, he warns them twice about greed. Listen to this. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Does anybody remember back when? I was younger. I was probably maybe middle school when it was popular. But there was bumper stickers that said, the man who dies with the most toys wins. Anybody ever remember that bumper sticker? Yeah, they were wrong. Very wrong. Did you hear what he said? A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. In fact, in 1 Timothy, he says this. Paul is talking to Timothy, and Paul says this. But godliness with contentment is great gain. But godliness with contentment is great gain. That is the opposite of what you hear in our society. About every commercial you watch tells you that you aren't content unless you have whatever they're trying to sell you, because they want your money. Right? We are an extremely materialistic society. I'm not trying to dog you. We're just being honest. Stuff will not make you happy. It might give you temporary pleasure, but it won't fill the gap. We were talking last night before service. We were talking about how expensive vehicles get. They are, right? You could drop 70 grand in a new truck. I don't think that's being exaggerated. I believe your 60, 70 grand is pretty real. Pretty real. One of the fastest things that depreciates, by the way. Usually the second most expensive thing you buy depreciates extremely fast. You know what you have after you buy a $70,000 truck 10 years later? An old truck that's not worth $70,000. It won't make you... I'm not dogging new trucks, man. If you can afford it and you can use it, good luck. I'm just saying, I'd like to have a couple, but good luck. It won't satisfy. Stuff, having more and more stuff doesn't mean you're the winner. And that doesn't make your life complete. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. So he goes on to tell him a parable. Parables, again, are stories that they would be able to understand, situations they'd be able to grasp to prove a point. He told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. What produced the crop? So who would be behind that? Thank you. What I want you to do is watch in verses 17 through 19 and pick up how many times Jesus says that this guy is talking about himself. All right? You ready? He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." Anybody pick up how many times? 11 times in 3 verses he uses either I or my, I'll, myself. 11 times in 3 verses he's talking about himself. Is there anything wrong with money? Is having money a sin? Absolutely not. If you get it in the right way, a moral way, legal moral way. So if you get it in a legal moral way and you use it in the right way, it's a wonderful thing. It's a tool. That's the key to it, I believe. Money is just a tool. It's not the goal, and it's surely not a god. And there are too many people who try to make it a god and some who make it a goal. It is just a tool. And we are just stewards of it. He says my or I like 11 times. Count them. I think 6 is the I's and 5 is the my's for those of you that want to double check me. 11 times. How much of that is pride? How much of that's pride? Look what I've done, look what I've done, look what I've done. But who produced it? Never once do you see him give any glory to God. Never once do you get a hint that he's going to be a steward of what God's given. It's all his and it's all for him. You don't see him giving glory to God, giving credit to God, wanting to be a steward for God. And 2, you never see a glimpse or a hint of him using it or desiring to use it to help somebody else. It was what? Man, I'm in it. I got a ton of it. How am I going to store it so I can use it later to hang out and chill? It's all about him. He's aggressively self-centered, wanting to live an extravagant life. Is there anything wrong with wanting to take it easy and eat and drink and be merry? Is there anything wrong with wanting to take it easy and eat and drink and be merry? Not if it's done in moderation. Look, I believe we're supposed to work how many days? Work 6. And then what do you do on the 7th day? Does anybody remember when things were actually closed, like Chick-fil-A? Isn't that cool they still do it? Hobby Lobby, yeah. Yeah, there was a time I was young, really young, but I remember people saying on Sunday, you know, we can't go there because it's closed. Now, you have to think about places that are actually closed on Sunday because most of them are open. So I believe it is okay to rest. I don't believe we're called to be workaholics. We're called to work, but not called to be workaholics. We are called to rest. But some people make rest and comfort and ease their god, hedonism. It's about pleasure. That's not where we're supposed to be. Did you realize that the world was not created to bring you comfort and ease of life? My point is, please be really careful not trying to find your happiness in money, in things, and in pleasure. it will let you down every time. But God said to him, you fool. Actually, if you check out the Greek here, it's a very strong word. You fool in the Greek, a lot of times it's moros, it means stupid. You're stupid. That's what it would mean. This one's actually stronger than that. This one is aphron. It actually means you insane one. God says to somebody who thinks that they have all the time in the world and they can use money to make them happy, and it's all about self and their greed and their covetousness and hoarding it all for them, and it's all about them, he says, you insane one. You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Did he ever think of that? Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Again, money isn't good or bad. If I had $1,000, I don't on me. But if I had $1,000... and I threw it on the steps, it's not good or bad, it's paper. If I had a big block of gold and I put it on the steps, it's not good or bad, it's metal. If I had a huge diamond, that'd be really cool, wouldn't it? I laid it on the steps, it's just a rock. A valuable one, but just a rock. It's not good or evil. Can it be good or evil? It's what we do with it, right? Paul says to Timothy this, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's what it does to us. And this guy loved it so much, it wrapped him up. He, again, was aggressively self-centered, and he was overly greedy. And he says, your life's going to be demanded of you tonight. Then who's going to get your stuff? Paul also addresses that. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. All that stuff that people work so hard for, somebody else is going to get. Some people are like, but I want to leave millions of dollars for my kids. Do you realize that most people, my kids don't have to worry about it. Most people can't handle money. Large amounts of money messes a lot of people up. Some money and inheritance is good. Huge amounts, you might be doing them more harm than good if they don't know how to handle it. It could become a golden calf to them or a cancer to them. Do you know what's going to happen to everything? Just real quick, I know I'm running out of time. Do you know what happens to everything in the world when it's all said and done? What, the first time he flooded it, the next time he's going to burn it. It's kindling, man. He's lighting it up. He's going to torch it. He's going to torch it. And then it gets remade. Right? But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be with anybody who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. Again, money here is not the problem. It's the heart that's the problem. We are called to be rich toward God. Clear back in Micah. Micah 6:8 says this, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. In Matthew, it says it like this, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Skipping down to verse 24, he makes it very plain. He says this. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Can't do it. Watch out for greed, man, because it's real. And I think most of us sitting in this room, I mean, you're not going to admit it because you're sitting in church and whatever, but sitting in this room, most of us battle with a degree of it anyhow. Can you think of anything that you want that would make your life easier and better? Now, I don't believe he's not... You're perfectly allowed to work hard and get nice things. I don't think there's a thing wrong with working hard and getting nice things. Again, I believe the problem comes with the heart. Being rich isn't a sin, but hoarding, greed, and covetousness is a bad place to be. I don't think it's so much about wealth. I believe it's about attitude in the heart. I believe it's about how you get it and what you do with it. Again, I believe it's a tool and we're to be stewards of it, and it can be a great thing. But it could be a great curse and a huge heartache not done right. Watch out for greed. I want to read something out of Psalms, if you will. I know it's 10. Those who trust in their wealth, this is Psalms 49, I'm starting in verse 6. Those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches, no man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly, and no payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay. For all can see that wise men die, and the foolish and the senseless alike perish and leave their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain, their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands for themselves. He's saying money isn't going to do it. But a man, despite his riches, does not endure. He is like the beasts that perish. That is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. He's saying for those who trust in themselves and in money, they're going to be left empty because it's over. It's empty. It's temporary. Like sheep, they're destined for the grave, and death will feed on them. Listen, I believe it's okay to work hard. It's okay to have nice things, but have the right heart, the right attitude, and use it for the right things. Be a steward. Don't let it be your God. Use it as a tool. Watch out for greed. Please know that your life is going to be truly measured on a lot more than your possessions. I'm all about investing. There's people in this room that have forgotten more than I'll ever know about business. We have some people in here that are brilliant business-minded people. I am not one of them. But I can tell you this. There's an investment that far outweighs them all that you will never regret, and the returns are out of this world. Literally. If you're going to invest, invest in eternal. You know what one of the coolest things, one of the most fun things that I've ever seen somebody do or that I've ever had the chance to do with money was? I've done a lot of cool things, and there's a lot of things that we've done and different vacations, different things. But you know one of the coolest things I've ever been able to do a little bit at that I think is one of the most fun things I've ever had to do with money? Anybody know what it is? Give it to somebody else. And you're like, what? What do you do? Listen, when I've been able to help somebody that was in need, it was way cool. If you're going to invest, and I think we're supposed to be good stewards of your money, and there's all kinds of places you can invest your money, but I'm talking bigger than money here. Big investments in your life. Invest in the eternal. Invest in things that give eternal paybacks. Invest in Him and His kingdom. Invest in the Lord and His kingdom, and invest in other people. Don't make money your God, man. It will fail you, I guarantee it. Father God, I pray that You would help us to be good stewards of what You've given. That's all Yours anyhow. And I pray, Lord, that You would help us to teach our children how to handle money. I pray they don't learn from the world. I think that's one of the worst places to learn from is the world. I pray that You would help us to teach them how to handle it, how to be good stewards of what You've given. I pray that we would use what You blessed us with to glorify You for Your kingdom, to help others. We are so blessed. We're so blessed. We ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Real quick, as you're walking up, quick side note. Anybody ever watch Shark Tank? So I was watching that the other night. I don't get to watch it a ton, but we watched it some the other night, and we're just talking about investments and interests and how to handle money and how you can save and compound interest and how that stuff works. And I hope that you take time to talk to your children about how to handle money instead of putting it on a credit card about layaway. I don't know if that concept's still out there in some people's world, but just to think about this, to actually pay for it before you have it. It's a great concept. If you don't teach them how to handle, the world will. The world will. And I pray that you teach them that it's all His, and it's for His glory, not just our pleasure. I'll quit preaching. Please stand.